What kinds of jobs would you like to see created in the 17th District?
I announced on day one of my campaign last summer that we would like to brand this district as a manufacturing triangle. We like the way this this region is situated in the new 17th Congressional District because we have major manufacturing already in place. We have John Deere right here in the Quad Cities. We have Caterpillar to the east in Peoria, and we have Chrysler to the north, along with major aerospace manufacturing. So we've already got a very good manufacturing base. The reason we think that we can brand this as a manufacturing triangle is that we also have very strong community colleges in this district that could be used for retraining. We have an unparalleled Midwestern work ethic. We have good infrastructure already in place to transport goods between all of these areas. So what we need to do, though, is make sure that we have a tax structure that is built around the fact that we reward businesses and manufacturing for keeping jobs here and that there is a disincentive for moving jobs overseas. And so, you know, all of that has to come together in order to create jobs. What's good about manufacturing jobs is that they pay well and we've got the base in place to build off of.
What role should the federal government play in creating these jobs?
Well, we need to level the playing field. Right now it is unfair to the American worker. Let me give you an example out of Galesburg, Illinois, which is part of the 17th Congressional District. About 10 years ago, Maytag left Galesburg and took with it 1,600 jobs. And while they did that, which was just devastating to that community and the surrounding areas, they were given $23 million in taxes, tax rebates, tax incentives, government giveaways, by moving those jobs and that organization out of Galesburg and overseas. You know, that is what I'm talking about, an uneven playing field. We need to make sure that we have a level playing field for American workers. And, that's just one example of how we need to take a look at the tax structure to incentivize job creation. It was cheaper for them to be there, and there was disincentive to keep the jobs here. We need to make sure that we are rewarding American businesses for keeping jobs here. And as I said, and there needs to be a disincentive for moving those jobs overseas. What I would say, we need to make sure that we are exporting goods, not jobs.
What foreign policy issues do you see as paramount for the U.S. these days?
I'm glad to see that we've gotten out of one war and that we are working on getting out of another. If we look at our policies that have led to a budget deficit that is unconscionable and to a budget situation that is just one that is not sustainable, it's because we were in two wars at the same time, along with under President Bush, we were cutting taxes for millionaires and billionaires and big oil. That just doesn't add up. We cannot continue to be the police officer of the world, and we need to make sure that we're working with our allies and not going into situations unilaterally. And, I think if we kept that kind of as our overall policy, as we're looking at, world peace and making sure that terrorism doesn't take hold any more than it has, I think that should be our overall philosophy.
Domestic energy, what course do you think the U.S. should take on in that regard?
You know, again, I think we're in a great situation in our region. We've got, ag is very important to this area. Ag and manufacturing are number one, number two employers in our region. And, so we are producers of what makes ethanol. And we have within our district, we have a USDA research center where we are looking for other ways to look at biofuels and what we can do with that. We have an abundant supply of sunshine, of wind, of potentially hydropower. And, I think we're well situated to be able to use our natural resources that we have in place, our research and development centers that we have in place, and actually be a leader out of this area in alternative fuels.
What is your position on right-to-work laws?
You know, if you look at the states that are right-to-work states, and I think it's important to point out that term is a little misleading. It makes it sound like it's pro-worker, but if you look at the states that do have right-to-work laws, which basically means that organized labor is not as strong in those states. The wages for working-class families and the working class residents of those states is lower than it is in states that are stronger when it comes to organized labor. Additionally, the wage gap between those who are lower income and higher income is wider in those states as well. So, you know, I think that, you know, that it bears out that that is not good for working families and it's not good for the middle class.
What should the relationship be between governments and their employee unions?
You know, what we've seen, you know, in Wisconsin and even here in Illinois, that there have been negotiations for contracts for government employees that have not been honored. And, you know, I put myself in that situation. Now, I am not a government employee, but I can tell you that, you know, I've worked, you know, nearly my entire career in the private sector. But, you know, if my employer said I was going to make a certain wage and a certain amount was going to be set aside in my pension, they always honored that. And I think above all else, if we're going to negotiate, and the very definition of negotiation means that you have the various sides sitting around the table and coming to an agreement, you know, we need to make sure that we honor that. At the same time, we need to make sure that we're keeping in mind budgets and taxpayers. We have to be fair to the taxpayers as well when we're figuring out these negotiations.
How far should the federal government go in dealing with abortion rights?
You know, it is a very sensitive subject, and I know emotions run very high on both ends or multiple ends. I understand that, and you know, and I'm Catholic, but here's what I believe: that you know, such a choice should be made among a woman, her doctor, her family, and her God, and I think that's where those decisions should be made.
What role should the federal government have regarding marriage?
I believe that, first of all, I'm against discrimination of any kind. You know, I think there's no room for that. And I'm someone who believes in equal rights and, you know, against discrimination, period, not in the workplace or anywhere else. I don't believe that we should have discrimination in marriage either.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would. I believe in marriage equality.
What do you see as the right approach to reducing the national debt?
Oh, I think it's multi-pronged. First of all, you know, the idea of a balanced budget, I am for a balanced budget. I am for tackling this budget deficit. And what I would say is that how I would approach that versus how, for instance, Bobby Schilling would approach that, our priorities would be very, very different. On his side, he's worked very hard in Congress in one area, in my opinion, and that's to make sure that he's protecting the millionaires and the billionaires. I would look at it very differently. What I would work hard for would be the middle class. So when we're looking at the national debt, I am not willing to balance that on the backs of seniors or the working class. I am for preserving Medicare. I am for preserving Social Security. I am not for preserving the tax breaks given to millionaires and billionaires. Let's talk about big oil for a second. You know, the top five companies, oil companies, made $150 billion in profit last year. I think that our government handouts for that reason can go away. Additionally, there was just a report issued from the Government Accountability Office, and keep in mind it's nonpartisan, and they have identified hundreds of billions of dollars, and that's hundreds of billions of dollars, in government redundancy and government waste. Now, this is, you know, they came out with a report last year as well, and they identified 81 separate programs that where there was redundancy and waste. Congress has only moved on four of those recommendations. And, you know, if you clearly have a nonpartisan group who's intimately involved with the function of the federal government, and they're saying we have that much waste and redundancy, I would say let's take a look at that report and see what we can do to move on that.
What sets you apart as the best choice for the nomination in the district?
You know, I'm a working mom. Grew up in a middle-class family. I'm in a middle-class family. You know, my husband's a police officer. We've raised three sons, you know, two of whom are out of college now. One is still in. We have a middle son who's facing, you know, a lot of student loan debt that we're trying to help figure out. We have a son who's still doesn't make enough money to not be on our health insurance, and I'm grateful for the fact that he can remain on our health insurance. On a very personal end, I have a brother who passed away about a year ago, and I saw firsthand, my family saw firsthand how someone who has a very good job with what we thought was very good insurance saw how that insurance wouldn't cover his care and what we had to do to figure out how was he going to get his medical care. And, you know, I know that, you know, my family's not unique. There's all kinds of people who have gone through loss like that. There's all kinds of people who have had to deal with a messed up health insurance plan, a health system that doesn't deliver the kind of care that it should deliver. And, I think on a professional level, having worked in healthcare, having worked as an investigative reporter where, you know, I know how to ask tough questions and hopefully I know how to listen, I think those are good backgrounds to have as a member of Congress.
What other issues do you see as important for the district, the state, or the country?
Sure. I'm in the middle of what we call a 14-county listening tour right now. Our new 17th Congressional District covers 14 counties. It's very large. We're visiting all of the counties multiple times. And so we're out talking every day to people. And here I hear the same things, whether I'm in Peoria or Rockford or the Quad Cities or Galena or any of the towns in between. And that is these four things. Number one, let's make sure that we're doing something to create jobs. And, I'm proud of the fact that we announced a plan on day one of our campaign. Number two, I want to make sure that we're preserving Social Security. Number three, that we're preserving Medicare, that they're there, they're a safety net, that they're there for not only our generation now that needs it, but for future generations. And then number four, what we talked about a little bit before, that we're doing it with the budget in mind. We've got to get this budget deficit under control. There's absolutely we can't delay this anymore. It's been the can's been kicked down the road for way too long and way too far. We can't keep going in that direction. And so, those are what I'm hearing people, middle class families who are struggling, in some cases, people, men and women who are out of work. That's what I'm hearing, and those would be my priorities should I be fortunate enough to be elected to the seat in Congress.